I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's hump day.
Hey, you big and hairy dude.
Hello.
Run in.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty. Pronounced with the Humpty.
This is an NFL Hump Day Roundup with Isaac and Sue.
If y'all ain't excited about this game, you can't get excited about no other games, man.
It's Wednesday. Hump Day with Isaac and Sue on 1080. The Hump.
What an exciting time.
By the way, I just saw this. You can go on FanDuel right now, and if you want to take the Braves on the money line, 120-1.
How much?
120-1.
That's
put,
it?
Put 10 bucks on it?
It's 13-1.
Those are the odds.
I need better odds than that.
The over-under right now, too, has been set at 18. It's 13-1.
Oh.
I would take the under.
I'd take the over.
Over as, yeah, because probably they're going to throw some.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're going to get into some sketchy bullpen
here. I think
at
this point, though, both teams have given up in terms of trying to score.
Right.
This game ends like 15-2, and that's the under.
Yeah, two schools of thought there. I'd probably go with Mike on that.
Taking the under?
I think this thing's going to fly from this point on. Everybody's got to get out of there, get to some dinner. 13-1.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, the news of the day in the NFL is as follows. Antonio Brown says that the Patriots should just play him because he believes, because of his grievance that he's filed, that they will have to pay him anyway, so yes. Might as well play him.
Might as well, right? Just welcome him back. Well, you know, he makes such valid points. Although he's got that final in English 101 at Central Michigan, so how is he going to, you know, how is he going to make the game?
Well, you know,
he's got to work on his studies, although he said he's back in Miami, so how is he taking classes at Central Michigan when he's back home in Miami?
I don't know, but maybe online.
No, possible.
My wife got her master's online.
I can't even imagine.
No physical classes?
Never once went to Boise. She went to Boise State.
Oh.
Never once went there.
Kick ass.
She didn't even go for graduation.
Go Broncos! She like a big Boise State fan now?
Not at all.
Oh.
No. So, yeah. So, I don't know what's going to happen there, but the Patriots are potentially... Now, the Patriots play tomorrow. They're playing the Giants.
Yeah.
They are potentially without Julian Edelman and Josh Gordon because they both have injuries.
But the Giants are decimated too. Barkley's out. One of the receivers.
Shepard's
out.
Ingram's out.
Yeah, they're... And it's the Giants.
This will be back to the original Thursday night football games that we hate so much.
Yes. Oh, and yeah, by the way, a rookie quarterback has never beaten the hoodie. So
At home.
Good luck. Daniel Jones.
0-11. Richard Sherman has admitted that he owes Baker Mayfield an apology.
Yeah.
This after he said Baker Mayfield didn't shake his hand while the camera caught Baker Mayfield indeed shaking Richard Sherman's hand before the coin toss.
It is fascinating that you would say that someone didn't shake your hand when you know that everyone was filming it and it clearly showed that he was shaking your hand.
But I thought he was talking about after the coin toss when Mayfield just ran off. So I don't know. But Sherman has apologized. And Baker Mayfield said a funny today because, you know, he's funny.
Yeah.
And he said that's, I'm paraphrasing, that's something to the effect of, that's the first time it's ever gone in my favor when someone's filming me.
That is pretty.
Because remember
that's well played.
Remember the film on him when he was talking to the cops and he tried to run off.
He got hammered
by the
he was already hammered and then the cop with a nice open field tackle.
Yeah, but I thought he get hammered by the side of the by like a ledge.
Yeah. Well, he was running and they tackled him and he went right into it.
If you haven't seen that video, it's great.
Think about it. That's the number one pick in the NFL and he's getting open field tackled by the cops. I mean, come on.
You think that cop feels pretty good about that?
Oh, I guarantee that cop tells that story. Every time the Browns are on, he's like, hey, just so you know, I ran him down. And the other players have come out and said this, which is why if you're Baker Mayfield, just shut up. there isn't a player in the NFL that doesn't want to cram it, you know what, when it comes to Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Like, they all have said that there is an extra motivation there when they play the Browns to shut him up. And there is a big deal in the NFL about earning your stripes, right? That you can talk when you've done something, but when you haven't and you're a young guy and you come in, boy, it does not sit well with a lot of people. And I'm not saying it's the end all to be all, because guys, right? I mean, ultimately, if you can play, you can play. But why do you want to give people a little extra chutzpah when they play you? And Richard Sherman's about one of 100 people now that have all said the same thing. When they play Cleveland, there is an extra pep in the step.
Now, I don't know what this stat is, but it's, they call it total QBR. It's that ESPN stat that they use.
Yeah, because the passer rating just goes with, obviously, you throw the ball. The QBR is everything. It takes in running. It takes in third down. It's a whole complicated formula. And supposedly gives you a better indicator of total performance.
Only two quarterbacks worse this year than Baker Mayfield in total QBR.
And that would be...
By the way, number one, you're never going to guess who number one is. I'll tell you.
The worst or the best?
Well, okay, so... No, I'm sorry. I squirreled you there.
I'm confused.
I squirreled you there. Baker Mayfield, out of the 33 quarterbacks that have played this year, is 31st. Who is 32nd and 33rd?
Okay, so the worst.
Worst, yeah. And then we'll go to what I was squirreling.
Or is it a starter, or is it? Or is it like a part-time?
One's a starter. One's a third stringer. One's not hard to get. I mean, it's Luke Falk. Luke Falk's dead last. 10.3.
I'm gonna probably say Trubisky then.
Cam Newton.
19.8. Yeah.
So Luke Falk, 33rd, Cam Newton, 32nd, Baker Mayfield, 31st, and Mitch Trubisky, a close 30th.
It's great company. Think about one of those as an MVP.
It's crazy. Yeah, but he's banged up.
Yeah.
And hurt now. So, okay, to the top. Patrick Mahomes is number 2, Russell Wilson, 3, Deshaun Watson, 4. Who's 1? This one will surprise you. Like, by a lot.
Number 1, maybe Wentz?
Carson Wentz is 6th.
Because if you're going to say it's a surprise.
More of a surprise than that.
Is it Lamar Jackson?
He is 7th.
Joe Flacco.
He's 11th.
I bet you it's Dak.
Dak Prescott.
There you go.
Number 1. Yeah. 80.6, which is weird.
Well, he had monster.
I guess that's true,
He had monster games at the beginning. And if you look, even the last couple games, they've struggled. He's been somewhat efficient. They just haven't been able to score.
By the way, Daniel Jones, 5th.
Oh, well, we'll see what happens when they play.
Now,
we love to take guys after 2 or 3 games. And they can't be stopped. By the way, anyone seen Lamar Jackson in the last couple games?
Yeah, 5 turnovers in 2 games.
Yeah, this whole, remember Lamar Jackson can't be stopped, and he was an MVP, and...
He played Miami.
Yeah. Oh, Sook, you know, you're so wrong, and you're an idiot, Lamar Jackson.
No one said that.
Yeah, where are we at now?
He's all right. He's a good quarterback. Listen, you got to admit, he's better than you thought he would be.
You're not that good, though. Come crashing down to reality.
Okay, we have an NFL gambling first. This has never happened, ever, in sports history.
Yeah!
Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm also ready for the app to come out, allegedly, next week.
Did they say that today?
Between Tuesday and Thursday.
Believe it when I see it.
What is this, a service window to come get your cable fixed? The app's going to be coming anywhere from Tuesday to Thursday.
9 to noon, or you can take the 12 to 6. Yes, Sprague was talking about this. I think he tweeted it and said that they are saying that they're hoping for Tuesday, but safe between Tuesday and Thursday.
Would they just shut up until it's out?
I think it's coming.
They said it was supposed to be yesterday, or no, Monday, and it didn't. And this will be next week. And now they're saying a 3-day window of next week, but hoping. It's like, come on, man.
Sprague had this. I'm going to find what he tweeted. All right, continue while I find the
Here is the
tweet.
NFL gambling first. We have, for the first time in NFL history, a winless team whose coach just got fired, who is going on the road, and they are favored.
The Redskins are favored?
Well, they're playing the...
Dolphins?
Miami Dolphins.
That's how bad the Miami Dolphins are?
Yep. If that doesn't put it in perspective for you, I don't know what will.
What's the spread?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Oh, my gosh.
So I've come prepared.
That is
to answer it.
That's all kinds of horrific.
Have you, though?
However, before I answer it.
By the way, Sprague, this was his tweet 8 hours ago.
Thank you.
Hello, sports gambling. I was told today that the new Oregon lottery sports betting
app. Hello, sports gambling. What does that mean?
It's hello, what? Sports gambling. There's an exclamation point.
Oh.
Like, I'm just telling you what Sprague said.
It's an exclamation.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a start of a letter.
No, he's very excited. Dear sports gambling, go to hell. He said, I was told
I feel like a total idiot.
That the new Oregon lottery sports betting app could be available.
Can
as
you
early.
Read?
As next Tuesday, but the timeline is Tuesday through Thursday for the launch. But next week is the week, okay. Finally.
Dude, cover me in maple syrup and spank me. Let's go.
So.
All right.
Let's just say Thursday.
Is that inside info?
Oh, this is what he was told. I'm telling you what Sprague said
That's
he
great.
Was told.
So that means, who's the Thursday night game of next week? Do you guys know that?
I don't know off the top of my head. I think it's a crappy game, if I'm not mistaken.
We might have it in time for that. And you better believe I'll be downloading that SOB.
I think I saw that we were going to go back to normal Thursday night football. Because the last Thursday...
But my NFL picks are terrible. Maybe I'll just steal yours.
Start fading it. Yeah, we've got the Giants-Patriots. So
No,
that's tomorrow.
You've got Denver-Kansas City next week.
Okay, well, that's tomorrow.
You're on a roll.
Yes.
Okay, who do
I just looked Denver up the schedule and I saw
yeah,
Thursday
I get
night,
it.
But...
Denver and Kansas City next week?
Yes.
In Denver?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. The spread, by the way, Washington -3.5 at Miami.
I'm not touching that.
Hell no.
Case Keenum's going to be back, most likely.
Hell no.
Not touching that.
Who are you going to bet on?
The Redskins.
No, you're not.
I'm not going anywhere near that.
But you're also not betting on Miami. Do not bet on that game.
No.
That's ridiculous.
If you do, go to meetings.
No kidding. Okay, where were we?
I don't know.
Oh,
I
want to tell you.
Tweets. You were getting mad about me not knowing Thursday night football.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Speaking of comings of Jesus and things like that.
I have a couple of other NFL trends I want to tell you about. So this could be something you could fade. You're talking about fading. And for those that don't follow gambling jargon, fading means bet against it.
Yes.
So here's what has happened so far.
Fade Rob. Whoever Rob likes.
No question.
Bet the other direction.
My picks tomorrow are easily fadeable. I think I'm 5-10 or something.
It's not good.
The NFL, so far this year, something unprecedented is happening. And it is that road teams are winning at an unprecedented clip. The road teams, this is straight up. This has nothing to do with the point spread. The road teams so far in the NFL are 43-32-1. That is a 57% clip. Normally, road teams win at about a 42% clip.
Yikes, that is a significant jump.
Yes. So what would you do coming into this week? You going to take a lot of the home teams or are you going to keep riding the road teams?
See, to me...
See, because I'd fade that. I'd say that's going to come back down to more normal numbers, and I think there's... If you look this week, there are a lot of home teams that you could bet on that could easily flip the script on that stat.
See, I'm wary of doing broad sweeping changes like this. I go more by individual games. I mean, I think it's a tool you can put in your back pocket, but I wouldn't just start randomly going the other direction.
60% as well so far. Underdogs, this is against the spread. Underdogs have hit 60% so far in the NFL the spread.
It does go to show you, though, that eventually you'll start seeing it go back the other way. But you got to be careful because you don't know when that's going to be. And you know, is that a slow build over time or is it self-correct within a week or two?
10 teams are unbeaten on the road and all of them have played 2 or even 3 road games. The teams that have played 3 road games and they're unbeaten are Buffalo, Kansas City, and New England.
Well, and I know that a couple of those teams haven't really played anyone quality. So again, it could be an anomaly where you just so happen that you're getting bad matchups for the home teams.
Were the Packers stealing signs from Boise State?
What?
No, it was the Saints. When the Saints beat the Cowboys?
Yeah.
They said that they were stealing signs from Boise State, and it helped them beat Dallas. So let's talk about that story.
I'm confused.
Well, you shouldn't be.
All right.
Kellen Moore is their offensive coordinator.
Oh.
So let's talk about that.
It's like Boise State.
Coming up next, Hump Day Roundup, 4:17 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news is coming up next. We will discuss meteor showers and hot speed bump talk. But this is our NFL Hump Day Roundup. Frank Gore, the fourth to 150. That would be a lot.
Yeah, it'd be, what, 15,000?
Yeah, Frank Gore, the fourth running back to 15,000 career yards, joining Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, and Emmitt Smith. Pretty good company.
Yeah, I would say so.
The question about Gore is, will he be the last to 15,000 yards?
There isn't. This is kind of like the 300 wins category. They're just treating backs differently now. You're not getting as many carries. The prime years aren't as long. It's just it's a different game now, and there really isn't anyone on the horizon for 300 games, and there really isn't anyone on the horizon for 15,000 yards.
So Saints players, you remember when the Saints beat the Cowboys and they held their offense to 10 points?
Yeah.
Several Saints players told NFL.com's Steve Weich that they learned some hand signals from Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore from going back and watching Moore's playing days at Boise State.
Huh. It's kind of odd that after all those years, you wouldn't have anything different. That's flat out bizarre.
The players told Weich that Moore used similar signals while calling plays from the sideline and that it helped them hold the Cowboys to a season-low 257 yards. Moore was Boise State's quarterback from 2008 to 2011. This could end up backfiring later, though, as the two teams might end up meeting each other later on down the road in the playoffs.
Yeah, just shut your mouth.
Right. Why did you have to say that?
By the way, going back to the rushing thing real quick, I looked it up. So Frank Gore is at 15,081. Adrian Peterson is at 13,426.
He won't get there, will he?
I guess there's an outside chance, but probably not. And then you got to go down. Would you care to guess who the next guy is that's still active? And by the way, he's 5,000 yards away from this.
So he's got 10,000?
Yeah, he's got 10 and change.
McCoy?
LeSean McCoy. Who, by the way, not getting there.
And he's in Kansas City now, right?
Yeah.
And is yeah, up, he's not getting there.
He's not. And there's no one else. I mean, it's...
Well, what about like... Well, what about like Zeke...
Oh, you're so early on.
It's, well, I know, but I'm saying, like, if somebody's going to get there, it's going to be a guy like that. It's not going to be anybody that's old.
No.
Maybe Peterson, but I don't think he'll get there.
Probably not. But that just goes to show you, this is like what I said. When
McCaffrey?
When you look at 300-game winners, there isn't anyone that you can see. I mean, Zeke's got to put together 10 more years in order to, you know, to do this and keep running at a high level. It just... And I suppose it could happen, but it's going to be a long time before anyone even sniffs that.
How about Christian McCaffrey, man?
Well, you make the argument that he's the best non-quarterback in the NFL right now.
MVP.
He's a Swiss Army knife.
He has 175 yards or more in 4 or 5 games. It's the return of the white running back. It's unbelievable. We never thought we'd see this.
No. And you also have to wonder, though, with all the touches he gets, where's that cutoff line for him where we start to see him get beat up. I mean, at Stanford, he was an absolute bell cow too. And remember his last year, he got pretty dinged up and he's a workout freak and has added weight. He is not a small back at all, but you just got to wonder all the carries at Stanford, all the carries and catches. I mean, he's on the field every down for Carolina. You just wonder how long before there is there's a burnout factor there with the body.
I will give you one of two men for your football team.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara?
Boy.
McCaffrey.
I don't know.
McCaffrey does it all. Kamara's great, obviously. I mean, you're picking these guys because they're both amazing, but...
You're saying that he doesn't do it all?
I think McCaffrey's better.
I don't know. The wear and tear thing it concerns me. I don't know. That's very difficult. I think I might go the other way, and I might go with Kamara.
I think I might, too.
But, I mean,
it's close, though.
You're 6-1, half dozen of the other there. I mean, you're talking about the two, well, along with Zeke. You're talking about probably the three, what? Well, then you get into Barkley, but he hasn't done it as long. Look, very, very special players. And those, especially with Kamara and McCaffrey, that's the modern back, right? That's a guy that you're getting him 25 touches, but they're not necessarily 25 carries. And I just don't know if the bell cow 25 carries a game. I don't know if that exists anymore in the NFL.
So Kamara went to Tennessee, right?
Yes.
Transferred from Alabama to Tennessee, I believe.
I don't remember him in college. Was he good at Tennessee?
I think he was okay, but I think he was a third-round pick. He wasn't like he was
really.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by guys that are great NFL players, like superstars like Mahomes and Kamara. And think back to when we watched them in college. And, like, nobody thought Mahomes – we were watching Mahomes in college. Nobody thought he'd be this.
No.
In the NFL. Because
well, you thought all area quarterbacks failed.
Well, when they traded up to get him, everyone collectively was like, what? And, by the way, his 2 years were about Kamara here in Tennessee. So he transfers. So he only played 2 years at Tennessee. He had 690 yards and 596 yards rushing.
Wow.
So, I mean, but he had, you know, he caught the ball. He had 34 catches and 40 catches, but he was not, you know, he wasn't like the best player in college football. He wasn't like an All-American or anything.
Now, I got this from a friend this week. The 2017 running back draft class. Leonard Fournette, fourth overall.
Overrated.
Christian McCaffrey, eighth overall. Dalvin Cook, 41. Joe Mixon, 48. Alvin Kamara, 67. Kareem Hunt, 86. James Conner, 105.
Damn.
Tariq Cohen, 119. Marlon Mack, 143. Aaron Jones, 182. Chris Carson, 249. Undrafted Austin Ekeler. Undrafted Matt Breida.
Wow.
All 2017.
That is unbelievable.
Dude, that's absurd.
That is.
But it also goes to show you that first round backs, not that, you know, that it's bad going in the first round, but you can find a lot of talent later on in the draft. In fact, the worst of those, well, not the worst, but.
Although, is Carolina, I mean, are they really trading McCaffrey for Aaron Jones right now?
No. McCaffrey is 100% legit, but the one that went before anyone else was Leonard Fournette. And if, you know, and if you had to tell me which one of those backs I would take, if you had to redraft that, Leonard Fournette might be last on that list.
Still trying to wrap my head around that. And two other two other pieces of love. Here is some commercials and spots on the fan sport. One, Kyle Allen.
Make that up because
it's the greatest hits. Hello?
I'm waiting for you to continue.
We'll start there with the second hour of sports talk next, if fourth times. Kyle Allen is the first undrafted quarterback since blank to go 4-0 as a starter.
Undrafted? Tony Romo, maybe?
Nye.
Trying to think of who else had did he go on to his long term success?
He's a Hall of Famer.
Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner. You're right.
The Hall of Fame thing helped. I wouldn't have come up with Kurt Warner unless you had dropped a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Kyle Allen.
I didn't have that one holstered in my back pocket.
First undrafted quarterback since Kurt Warner to go 4-0 as a starter. Now the question is, Cam Newton is coming back. He's out of his walking boot. I mean, he's not back this week. I'm just saying he'll be back in the next several weeks. What happens? What do you do?
You play Cam Newton.
Yeah.
He's an MVP.
Well, what do you do in Jacksonville then?
Ooh.
Again, you play Luke Falk. Let's not act like Gardner
Luke
Minshew.
Falk.
Or Luke Falk. God.
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
What's his nuts is what you're searching
what's
for.
What's his nuts?
Minshew's been good.
Let's not act like Minshew has lit the world on fire and is dominating the league.
Mania.
Go Cougs.
He's a fun guy.
Hashtag go Cougs.
And he's played well.
It's better than Nick Foles.
I think Mike believes that.
Sure.
He might be. I mean, I don't know. Nick Foles isn't great.
I don't think Nick Foles is that good.
He's not great. Cam Newton's a different story. But what if it were Kyle Allen and Nick Foles? And Nick Foles comes back. You got to stick with Kyle Allen.
I don't.
Kyle Allen looks good.
You think Allen's better than Minshew so far?
Yes.
I think he's looked better, yeah.
Well, I would say that it just feels like Kyle Allen is more of a sustainable NFL quarterback than Minshew, but they've both played well.
I just think, I don't know. Again, we're taking a very
neither of them are Teddy Bridgewater.
We're taking a very small sample size, and this is what we love to do. And we're like, oh.
Will you stop with that?
When Drew Brees comes back, he's not getting his job back from Bridgewater.
That's right. Bridgewater is 3-0, and his quarterback rating is 3-0. Suck it, Brees. Cut.
I'd also like to look this up. And who has Kyle Allen?
Who does number two work for?
I'm looking up the Panthers. Who have they beat?
Well, Kyle Allen beat Gardner Minshew head to head, which that is in and of itself the Hall great, of Fame
yes,
worthy,
right? I mean, if he won that vicious,
that's not
fight.
Easy to do.
I'm looking. Yeah, so he's beaten Jacksonville, who isn't very good. Who else did he beat? He beat the Texans, and by the way, they scored 16 whopping points.
Houston's good.
And again, they scored 16 points, and they beat the Cardinals. So,
love Arizona.
Can we please stop with the Kyle Allen?
God, you love to just take craps on people.
Love Arizona, he says.
I was trying to sneak that one in on you.
I don't know if there's another sport that God. We do this quite like we do in the NFL.
Well, it's quarterback position. But hey,
your whimsy for Gardner Minshew.
Just
dude.
Give him credit.
By the way, Minshew beat the Titans, beat the Broncos, lost to the Panthers.
Wet blanket staring right at him.
Now they're going to lose to the Saints, but then he'll beat Cincinnati and the Jets. So then,
what if they beat the Saints, huh?
So this,
yeah.
So
then what, jerk?
So this week,
you said Washington was for sure going to beat Stanford.
We'll all hate Gardner Minshew, and yeah. Then the next 2 weeks we'll anoint him as the best player in the NFL.
What? No, he's already been anointed.
Oh, okay.
The he's question great. Is, how many wins will he end up with before he goes into the Hall of Fame?
The ESPN headline for him today says something about him having a brilliant mind. I was like, oh, we're going here already. Okay.
Yeah, he's a genius. Stable genius, Gardner Minshew. I'm tired of your crap. Let's end this. In the News is coming up next. I have hot speed bump talk. And do you love meteor showers, bro? Next, here's Mike.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
It's getting a little exciting in here. And it's not these wasabi nuts.
Pac-12 football talk coming up. Big sports day. If you're just tuning in, the Cardinals lead the Braves 13-1 in the bottom of the seventh. They scored 10 runs in the first inning.
Hey, under 18, out, looking juicy now, huh?
You take out that first inning, this is a close ball game.
It sure is.
Yeah.
The Braves have really stabilized here.
Yeah, 3-1. You know, you view it that way. You got to do a – everyone's saying I'm so negative about quarterbacks. I'm trying to view this as a glass half full sort of thing.
Hey, progress.
Why is it negative to be rational and not jump to wild conclusions?
Well, I think because you're a big jerk. That's why.
Yeah.
I think because that's everybody loves Gardner Minshew, and how dare you say that?
I love Gardner Minshew.
I think it's a...
Apparently not.
But no, you don't.
I do.
No, like, you don't.
There's not a player I'm rooting for more than him, but there is something about... It's the backup quarterback phenomenon. I just think we're so desperate. Because people ask, why do you do this with quarterbacks? Why do you take a crap on them? It's not taking a crap.
Yes, it is.
I just think people are so desperate, especially if your team isn't very good. We're so desperate to find a franchise quarterback that the first glimmer of it, we grab on for dear life. It's like the pretty girl at the bar. You're just some desperate dude at 1 a.m. and the pretty girl like flirts at you and you're like, well, this is the one. I'm holding on to her. And then like there's 1,000 signs that are like, yeah, this may be not the one, right? She's got a boyfriend who's on deployment and he's a Navy SEAL and she's got a 2 gram coke habit and she's 50 grand in debt and still lives at home. And you're like, no, I don't care. She's pretty. This is the one. We're just so desperate that we grab on so quick. Just give it time.
And then you like to poop right on top of it. Just take a big old giant steamer right on top. Here's all this. I get what you're saying, man. It's not like you're wrong. It's just people want a little credit. Like, just give Gardner Minshew credit. That's a good story.
Yes, it's
Kyle
a great story.
Kyle Allen is a good story. Kyle Allen has been... I mean, I don't know if you know his background, but he was cut and transferred and this and that, and he's just had a long journey, and I don't think anybody's anointing them as Tom Brady. It's just like these quarterbacks aren't elite. Like, not everybody's elite, right? Yes. We know who is elite, and then when guys have success at that position that aren't elite or that weren't expected to, it's a good story. People like that. People like to see that, and they like to follow it, especially a guy with the personality of Minshew. And so I think it's just that, hey, give him a little credit and then take a giant steaming dump right on top of their head. That's what I'd do if I were you. Anyway, it's October 9, 2019. Time for In the News. We are behind. It is International Beer and Pizza Day, which every day should be Beer and Pizza Day.
That's fantastic.
And it's also National Moldy Cheese Day, which I'm all for.
You like the moldy cheeses,
I
dude?
I love it.
Yes, they're love so
quality blue
good.
Cheese.
So good.
Some crumbles.
And this
so
is
good.
This is how you know kids are idiots. When I was a kid, I hated blue cheese.
Really?
That's how dumb I was.
As a kid, I hated blue cheese, too.
Yeah, and it's like, this is why kids are stupid. It's like, you don't get it, man. Blue cheese is amazing. And then I, of course, grew blue up cheese, and was like, whoa.
Blue cheese is amazing, and it goes well on just about everything.
Will you? Okay, can I make a confession?
Yeah.
I'm going to confess something to you.
Okay.
I will dip odd things into blue cheese.
Such as?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that. Well, I'll do pizza.
Well, that's...
Okay, do you do pizza into blue cheese? Because that's a little weird for some people.
I don't dip it in, but it's... I'm sure it tastes delicious.
Like I say, I am not a pizza dipper, but people that dip it into blue cheese or ranch or whatever, okay. I've taken a lot. I'll do sometimes the crust. Like, if you get pizza and wings, I'll take the crust and I'll take it for a lap around some blue cheese.
And we're talking about blue cheese dressing and blue cheese, the cheese, all of it is amazing.
It's delicious.
I can't think. Let me come up with a couple of examples of things that I've dipped in blue cheese and I've been ashamed of it, but it's so good.
Well, like the, my favorite thing, and I guess it's not traditional blue cheese, but the onion rings at Ringside, that sauce that they come with is a blue cheese.
It's gorgonzola, right?
Yes. No, it's. I think it is. Is it gorgonzola?
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
you're
it's
talking
a form
about
of
the
blue cheese,
the orange sauce.
Yeah, the orange sauce, and it's got the crumbles in it. And this is what I will tell you. Once that's done, I will scrape the bottom to see if there's hidden crumbles
with your finger.
Yes, I will take a finger in there, and I want to
put your
little
pinky in there and circle around the little tub.
I want to make sure that I get every one of those delicious bastard crumbles that are in there.
You could always just ask for more.
Yeah,
well, but I don't really want more.
Yes, you do.
I'd bathe in it.
I just want a couple of those crumbles.
It is amazing. Are you down with meteor showers? Because we're going to get, I guess tonight it's pretty clear out.
Yeah.
And I guess tonight we're going to get a good look at a meteor shower.
I have nothing against meteor showers. If I happen to stumble across one, it's pretty cool. But I always forget when they're happening, or they're at like 2 a.m. and I'm not going to wake up to go outside.
No question on the 2 a.m. thing. Now, this one is going to be early evening to nightfall, they're saying.
Okay.
And there's a lot of stuff in here that it's just like nerd science, and I don't know what it means, but draconids. It's the draconids shower.
Okay.
And it will peak...
the druids? What, they're out?
The draconids.
Okay.
I don't know why they name it that. But, it will peak over the next couple of days, easily before midnight. So early evening, you can go out there and check it out. And we are supposed to have pretty clear skies tonight, so you may be able to see it. Now, sometimes there... You know, you never know with these meteor showers. Sometimes it's a lot of you know, things in the sky.
Meteors,
yeah, yeah. And then other times there aren't that many, so they don't know. But
I've seen a
get out there and check it out.
If I've watched 10 over the course of my life,
shooting stars,
2 have been good.
2 like as in like a lot.
Like I remember a couple times we were up at Mount Hood once, and we rented a place up there, and there was an amazing one. We laid out, and for like 20 minutes, it was just the sky was lit up. But then most of the time you lay out there, and it's like, you get an occasional one, and you're like, oh, that's cool. And then you realize, yeah, it's cold. I'm going inside.
Draco the Dragon is now spitting out meteors, also known as shooting stars. This is one shower that's best to watch at nightfall or early evening, not after midnight. No matter where you are on Earth, watch as close to nightfall as possible. The shower is active between October 6th and 10th. The best evening to watch is likely October 8th. Try the evenings of October 7th and 9th also. Of course, tonight being the 9th. This shower favors the Northern Hemisphere, but Southern Hemisphere observers might catch some draconids too. Unfortunately, the large bright evening moon will hinder this year's draconid shower. It'll likely drown all of the brightness, all but the brightest meteors in its glare. So yeah, check that out. Show the kids. Who knows? Maybe it will inspire them to become a great astronomer.
We have an easy roof to get up on. You can go out of the like the bathroom window. So yeah, we might do that if it's a pleasant evening. But it's been cold the last couple nights.
You know, yeah.
I'm gonna sit out there.
It's supposed to be real cold in the morning, dude.
I'm sitting out there if it's, 40 degrees outside.
All right. Let's talk hot speed bumps, okay? Because we have some speed bump news.
Okay.
Some speed bump controversy. Now, do you have speed bumps in your neighborhood? With the olds?
I'm sure
the olds have
put
them in
there. Got some speed bumps around me. Not like all the roads, but we got a bunch of schools around us, and all the roads leading to the schools have the speed bumps. But I got a truck, and so I don't really have to slow down. So that's, you know, nuts to them.
But you do slow down, though. I mean,
not
you don't
really.
Yeah, but you kind of do. I mean, you don't slow down a ton, but you do.
I guess. But, like, you know, if you've got a truck.
You take your foot off the gas.
They're pretty effective.
You don't brake. You just kind of roll over them at a somewhat slower speed.
If I'm going 30.
Mike passed me again last night.
Did he?
I tell you what, Mike's
it's a blur.
Mike's Mike passing you on the. It wasn't even on the freeway. It was on the side street.
Mm-hmm.
It's violent. It's like it's not just like a car passing you because well, they're going faster than you. Mike's are with a purpose and almost like an arrogance he passes you.
It's almost like he was listening to I don't know some sort of death metal music that would cause him to be a total a-hole.
I was on the phone yesterday, actually. Hands-free, of course.
Well, anyway, I was very perturbed by it.
Okay. Anyway, speed bumps?
Yeah, next.
Okay.
On the fam.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Is anybody else a little bit uncomfortable with Geico Ween?
What?
No. Geico Ween.
Geico Ween.
What's Geico Ween?
Are you guys serious?
Yeah, what's happening?
You must not have been listening to that last spot break.
No, I saw that there was a Geico commercial, but I didn't know that there was Ween involved.
I was 100% not listening.
Yeah, it just played, but it's a Geico Ween. Like Halloween.
Halloween.
But it's making me a little...
Interesting.
I don't know. My first thought is, wait, what did they just say?
Reminds you of Geico Dong, is what you're saying.
Yes. Right. You know. I'm not sure why they did it that way, but they did. All right. This is in the news for October 19th, 2019. Now, here's the thing with speed bumps. I have some new speed bumps. I go through a school zone on one of my routes to work. Okay.
Okay.
And they've put in new speed bumps because I would often see cops through there. Like, clearly they had a problem with people speeding through there. And it's a little, you know, it's like little kids.
Yeah.
And so it's just dangerous. So they put in speed bumps.
Yeah, there's a couple of roads around the schools where I live where they have the same thing.
And I don't mind speed bumps, particularly through a school zone. I think they're effective. Particularly the ones that are super annoying and like really, really large. I hate those, but they're effective. You know that they're really, really tough and you slow way down before you go over them. These ones are middle of the road. Like you can go fairly fast over them and be fine. But they have, so you know how they have the grooves in it's not all
a bump. You aim your one tire for the groove and then you hit the gas.
Yeah.
That what everyone
have
does?
Have you ever wondered why they have those grooves? Do you know why they have those grooves?
I have wondered that.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
But these particular ones that I'm talking about that I drive through most every day, the grooves are perfect for both tires to go through to go over the bump flat.
Really?
Yes. The only thing is, if there's a car coming from the other direction, mm-hmm. your driver's side tire is actually hitting the middle line. Because the groove is in the, it kind of coincides with the middle line. So if there's another car coming from the other direction, you can't do it. But you can line up your tires so that you don't feel any bumps through all of the bumps. It's unbelievable. I don't know why they did it that way.
See, I got to look at this because I don't think that's the case.
I don't think that should be the case.
No, it's not. Yeah, that's what I'm getting to.
I was going
to
say, because over by me, because I do, I aim the one tire, my driver's side tire, I aim for the little gap. And I'm not going to lie, there's times I don't slow down at all. Like, they just don't bother me. I have a truck and you go right over it. But I know that I could not line up my tires in the grooves.
Right. Because everybody's tried to do that. Like, everybody would do that if that were the case. So this is, I think, a mistake. And so then I read this story today on KGW.com that the city of Portland has hit a costly bump in the road while making street improvements in North Portland. Now, this isn't where I live, but road crews had to remove 10 speed bumps just months after they were installed because they didn't meet updated design standards. And the design standard for the grooves that you're talking about is for fire trucks.
Oh.
If fire trucks are cruising through there, they need to be so that they can avoid having to go over the bumps and they can just speed through and follow the grooves. Well, the mistake will cost taxpayers roughly $75,000 to remove and replace the flawed speed bumps. Basically, they did it. They didn't do it wide enough. They're supposed to be 20 inches, and they did it like, I don't know, I think it was 12 inches wide. Mm-hmm. So the fire trucks can't. But I think that's what happened on mine.
Huh.
Because a normal size car just.
I'm going to pay more attention to this because I'm intrigued now. I guess I don't pay enough attention to the speed bumps, but I want to take a look because there's a bunch of them over by the house. Have you ever encountered the super speed bump? Like where it, I remember in high school, they put in speed bumps in my parking lot my senior year.
Yeah, I just said that. Like when we were just starting, like the ones that are super, super annoying.
It's ridiculous.
But they're effective.
But like the ones that we put in the high school, like
you have to literally slow to almost a stop.
To a crawl, would bottom out over. And when we were in Costa Rica last time, we rented a tasty Toyota Yaris. By the way, Costa Rica doesn't have nice cars to rent. Go figure. Like, everything there was just like a hunk of crap. And we're in this little tiny Yaris. And I swear to God, no matter how slow we went over a speed bump, I thought I was going to lose the muffler. I mean, they have the worst cars and giant-ass speed bumps.
Who's shocked Portland screwed this up?
Nobody.
Anybody? You guys shocked?
Hey, but more importantly, no urinals in the new bathrooms.
Right. Speed bumps that we can all drive right over without hitting a bump and no urinals.
Yes, gender fluid urinals.
Portland is on fire. All right, that's
speed
in the news.
Speed fluid bumps.
For October 9th.
There you go. Go pee on them.
Coming up next, we have the Hot 5 at 5, all the top news of the day. Vontaze Burfict gets news on his suspension. It is a really strong baseball night and some Pac-12 quarterback news next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.